From WMUA 91.1 FM in Amherst, Massachusetts, this is Writer's Voice. We talk to writers of all genres about matters that move us and make us think. Welcome to the show. I'm Francesca Rhiannon.
Our culture is tells us that a certain body size is good and other body sizes and shapes are bad. And there are people who live in bodies that never will, no matter what they do, will never come to be the kind of thing that is sold by the advertising agencies as being the appropriate body shape. So it's a kind of a cruel message.
That's Leonard Nimoy. We'll be talking to him in the first part of our show about the Full Body Project. And later, we'll talk with authors Susan Stinson and Leslie Newman about the image of fat women in our culture. Stay with us. Most people know Leonard Nimoy only as Mr. Spock from Star Trek, but he's worn many different masks as an actor on stage and in movies, as a musician, as a writer, and as a photographer. He's been interested in photography since first using his family's Brownie camera as a youngster. His current work, The Full Body Project, is on display at the Michelson Galleries in Northampton. It's a series of photographs of large women that shows us women's bodies in all their abundant glory. The show liberates the image of the female body from Madison Avenue's ubiquitous gaunt stereotype. The women in the photographs jump out at the viewer as real individuals celebrating who and how they are. The photographs making up the Full Body Project are being published in a book next week of the same name. Nimoy is coming to the Michelson Galleries in Northampton, Massachusetts next week to talk about the Full Body Project. Later in the show, we'll talk with two locally based authors, Leslie Newman and Susan Stinson, who will be speaking at a symposium about the Full Body Project on Saturday, November 3rd, also at the Michelson Galleries. Associate producer Michael Pollan and I spoke with Leonard Nimoy earlier in October. Well, Leonard Nimoy, welcome to Writer's Voice.
Thank you very much.
The Full Body Project, how did it come about?
Well, I've been doing fine art figure photography for a number of years, maybe 14, 15 years now, and I was working on some figure work for a previous book that I did called Shekhinah, and I was showing some of that work at a symposium in Northern California 4 or 5 years ago. When I was done, lady approached me and said, all of your models are of a certain body type and a sort of a classic look, and I'm a different body type, she said. Would you be interested in working with me? And I said, let's try it and see what we find. And she was a very large lady. I'm not good at this, but I would guess at least 250 pounds. And we photographed her at a studio that I have in Northern California. And I was quite pleased. I thought the photographs looked like sculpture. She looked like marble sculpture in these photographs. And whenever I showed them with other work, she was the one her photographs of her got all the attention. People were very curious about her and who she was and how I came to photograph her, and so they all wanted to know the story about these photographs. And I became aware that there's a lot of interest in the subject matter. I began to explore the question of body size, body shape, particularly in women. In our culture, it's a very prominent issue. You can't read a newspaper or a magazine or watch TV very long without hearing something about diet or obesity or anorexia or losing weight or gaining weight or pills or surgery or clothing that fits and doesn't fit and workout programs and so forth. So I began to explore it further, and I found a group of women in Northern California and San Francisco who called themselves the Fat Bottom Review. This was a burlesque group of large women, and I photographed them a couple times, and that's how the book came about, and that's what this project is, the Full Body Project.
Well, you know, I actually once saw an exhibition similar to this, but it was done by a woman photographer.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what might be different about doing it from the point of view of a man, you as a man doing it.
I'm not sure there is a difference, frankly. It's about them. It's not about me. It just happens that I am I've become, as I said, very acutely aware that it's a major issue, and particularly for women. It's a large women's issue in our culture. Our culture tells us that a certain body size is good and other body sizes and shapes are bad. And there are people who live in bodies that never will, no matter what they do, will never come to be the kind of thing that is sold by the advertising agencies as being the appropriate body shape. So it's a kind of a cruel message. The message is put out by a very large industry aimed at making money by telling women that they should have a certain look. Beauty is culture-driven, and in our culture, there is a certain look that's considered appropriate, that's considered proper. And no matter what some women do, they will never achieve that. It's unattainable for a lot of people, and particularly women. It's an unattainable goal. So I think it's a rather cruel message that's being put out there.
Well, you know, you mentioned that this is not about you, it's about them.
Yeah.
And yet you also talk about, I mean, you've done a lot of work photographing women in particular as a thematic constant in your work.
Yeah.
And you've talked about how when you did it before, it was more about you than it was about the women.
There's a certain truth in that. What I'm trying to say on this issue is that previously the models were being used to express an idea, a concept that I was trying to put forth. I would have an idea about a subject matter, and I would use models to express that idea. In this case, in the Full Body Project, it is about the model. It's about them. It's not about my idea. The issue is about them and their body size and their acceptance of their bodies, their sense of comfort with the idea of who and what they are. So when we talk about these photographs, it is specifically about them. It's not about an idea that they are being used in some way to help express an idea that I have. In the Shekhinah book that I did previously, the subject matter was about the feminine aspect of God.
And Shekhinah being the female aspect of
female
God.
Female deity according to Jewish mysticism, that's right. And the models were stand-ins for that figure. They were being used to help me express that idea, to the search for the Shekhinah. In this case, the photographs are specifically about the people who are in the photographs.
And yet, in searching for an idea, a model that expresses an idea that's kind of an idealization of a model,
yes.
Would you say that the women in these photographs are also idealized? You have them in poses that are resonant of artistic themes, for example, Matisse's The Circle, which I found very lovely, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So what would you say about that? Are they idealized in a different way, or are they really just who they are?
I think both. I think you're absolutely right. I brought to the photo sessions, in some of these cases, some preconceived notions about what kind of... They are making a comment. These photographs and these women are making a comment on other people's works of art. There's a pair of photographs in this collection that are based on a couple of photographs that were done by a very, very famous fashion photographer named Helmut Newton, where he used high fashion models, which were typically his subject that he used in his fashion work, and he had them, four of them, walking towards the camera fully clothed. And then in juxtaposition of that were the same exact models in the same exact poses walking towards camera, totally nude. And I did the same thing with these women, a photograph of them clothed and a photograph of them nude. I also did a group of them standing on a staircase, which is a comment on the Marcel Duchamp painting, which was done around 1912 or 1913, called Nude Descending a Staircase. Well, in this case, they are descending a staircase, but they are not Marcel Duchamp's nudes. They are these nudes. They are an entirely different kind of people, an entirely different kind of figure. And the same thing with the Three Graces, which is a painting that was done by Raphael and has been done by a lot of artists in sculpture and painting. The one that I make particular reference to is a painting that was done by Raphael about 500 years ago of the three daughters of Zeus, who represent humor and grace and charm and so forth. And I did it with three of these women. As a comment on that, it's and there's one more that I'll talk about. There's a group of women in a group hug, which is the cover of the Full Body Project book, sitting on the floor in a group hug, which is a comment on a photograph that was done by a very illustrious fashion photographer named Herb Ritz, who did that photograph some years ago with Naomi Campbell and Cindy Crawford and Linda Evangelisti and so forth, that group of high fashion models of an entirely different body type. So these photographs are comments on those pieces of work, where in those works, those women were shown as were idealized for the sake of, in the sense that those were idealized bodies. And I'm showing that these women are making a comment on those pictures being themselves and being an entirely different body type.
Mr. Nimoy.
Yeah.
I've spoken with fat women who have described their extra flesh as a mask, as a way to hide, to become invisible, especially to men.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The women you photograph seem to be anything but that.
No, these women are not hiding, no.
No, not at all. Can you tell us more about...
Well, there's a movement that I think these women are adjunct to, which is called the fat acceptance movement. And in fact, when I'm with these women, I talk about body size and body shape and full bodies and so forth, they encourage me to use the word fat. They feel the word fat has been demonized and that there's no reason to refer to fat as anything but fat. Their attitude is, yes, we are fat people by definition. And the word has been given such a negative connotation that nobody dares to say fat around these people. And they encourage me to use the word fat. What I have learned from these people is that they are aware that beauty is culture driven. They are aware, as I am now, that in our culture, and this is maybe final, the bottom line comment of it all, women are most congratulated for losing weight. I don't know how many times I've heard people say to women, "You look wonderful. Have you lost weight?"
Right.
You recognize that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I look for it myself.
That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about.
And if you've just joined Writer's Voice, we're talking with Leonard Nimoy about his just-issued book, The Full Body Project. Moving on from this, you seem to choose roles, activities, or even subjects that are often outside the norm. Mr. Spock being one of them, Jewish mysticism, Hasidic Jews, full-bodied women. Is there a thread like this that runs through your life, and if so, why?
if there is, evidently that there's something that I find attractive about these subjects, but I don't set out to choose a subject that's off the beaten track. It just... These things interest me, as I said, in this particular project, in the Full Body Project. It came to me through a lady who presented herself to me and said, "Would you like to work with me? I'm a model." And I'm very grateful that she did, because it led me to a whole new sense of a new view of what this subject matter is all about. And I've done, since then, in order to make the work meaningful to myself, I've done a lot of reading, done a lot of research, met with a lot of people, and brought that consciousness to the work.
And
so it's not that I set out to find something controversial, it's just that something sort of fortunately sort of came to me.
I'm interested in just following that up a little bit. In the use of mask, for instance, there's the question of whether it reveals more of who we are, and as an actor you must have thought about this, or whether it hides us.
Maybe someday I'll find a way to do some work on that subject. I'm very intrigued with masks, obviously, having done so much acting and having thought about masks and faces. There's a self-portrait that I have in the book. I think it's the back cover of the Full Body Project book that's being published this week.
With a nude woman behind your...
No, not that,
not
one.
That
there's,
one.
No,
okay.
there's one where there's a light bulb in the picture.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's a time exposure where you have a double image of my face. And this is, again, one of the most wonderful things that becomes revealed when you pursue a thematic idea. What I was after in making that image was the use of time. It's a time exposure. During the time that the lens is open on the camera, I actually changed my gaze from looking at the lens to looking at the light bulb that's in the picture. So you see me in profile, and you see me looking directly at the lens simultaneously, and within the one shot. So I was thinking about time. I was thinking about the passage of time. But when I made the print, I realized that I had found a kind of a duplicate image of myself, and that, in a sense, this made some comment on the fact that I've had a career as an actor in a sort of a dual aspect of my own persona, using parts of myself in various characters. So there's a comment on the mask and face within that picture, although it wasn't intended. It was something that was discovered as a result of making the image.
Well, you've written two autobiographies, and
yes.
There's a time lapse there, let us say, between the first and the second.
Yes.
And you realize, well, the first one is I Am Not Spock, and then the second one is I Am Spock. So you, in that time lapse there, you discovered something.
You know, both of those titles are true. I Am Not Spock and I Am Spock. It depends on how you approach the question semantically. I wrote the first book, and which was a discussion about the creation of the Spock character, and with all good intentions, titled it I Am Not Spock because a lady introduced me to a young child at an airport, and she introduced me as Spock. She said, "Here's Spock standing right in front of you." Little boy looked at me, and there was no recognition because I didn't look like Spock. I wasn't dressed like Spock. I didn't have the pointed ears. I didn't have the eyebrows. I didn't have the haircut. Didn't have the Spock uniform. What she meant to say to this little boy was, this is the actor who portrays Spock. But she didn't say that. She said, this is Spock. And the little boy was confused, and I was intrigued with that. So I wrote a chapter called I Am Not Spock. I Am an Actor, and I explained the differences between myself and Spock and so forth. And the title led to a lot of misunderstanding. People thought I was rejecting the character and because they read the title and didn't read the book. So 20 years later, I thought, okay, let me explain myself. Of course I'm Spock, meaning in a certain kind of colloquial expression, a certain kind of language shortcut, you could say, well, he's Spock, just as you would say, well, he's such and such character on some other TV show. But the fact is, I'm not. I'm an actor who portrayed Spock. I explained myself in the second book.
So do you bring this consciousness then to the work that you do with photography? I don't mean the consciousness of being or not being Spock, but more the consciousness of the mask. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you talk, and I'm thinking acting is one kind of medium and photography is another.
Yeah.
And is there a connection then, you know, kind of that idea of the image is not the reality, but it represents that?
We take photographs in our culture and around the world for various reasons. Sometimes we take photographs of when we travel so we can come back and say, look, I was there. I stood in front of the Taj Mahal. I was in Kremlin Square. I was in Rome. I shot this photograph of the Colosseum. And there's my wife standing in the photograph to prove that we were there. Or it's a memory. Sometimes we take photographs of birthday parties or bar bat mitzvahs or weddings as a nostalgia memory piece. And I use photography as a part of my creative process. We have cameras around the house that we use for parties and so forth, and I love those pictures on my walls and on my desk of my family, my kids, and so forth. But I use photography for an entirely different reason. I use it as a thematic tool to express myself, to express a creative process. I'm always looking for theme. Why am I taking this picture? What's it about? What am I aiming towards? What will I discover when these pictures are put together in a group? What will I discover about myself, about the society I live in, and what can I say to an audience with these photographs? My photography is all thematically driven.
So are you also then saying that you're discovering things after you took the photographs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very often I'll put up an exhibition of photographs, and I love to hear the comments of people who are looking at the photographs because I learn something about the photographs and about myself by seeing fresh perceptions, by listening to fresh perceptions.
Wonderful. Well, the exhibition is here. It has been here for a while at the Michelson Galleries, and you're coming to the area to talk about it.
I am. I'm going to be there on November 2nd and 3rd. Is that right?
That's right.
And we will be doing a symposium These images, this project, the Full Body Project, was written about in the New York Times a few months ago by a very good writer named Abby Ellen, who I believe is coming to be part of the seminar. There's a wonderful introduction in the book that was written by a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer named Natalie Angier, who's a science and women's issue writer for the New York Times. She's written a brilliant and really exciting introduction to the book, which I'm so pleased about. And I think the book has a lot to offer. I think there are a lot of interesting ideas which will be discussed at these seminars that we're going to do at the Michelson Gallery.
And if they do something to help break some of the ideas about fat and attractiveness, because I find the women in these are beautiful.
Yes, they are. I agree.
That would be a wonderful thing.
I agree.
Well, thanks so much, Leonard Nimoy, for talking with us here, and welcome to the area.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I feel like a homecoming. I grew up in Boston, so I always look forward to coming home to Massachusetts. Thank you for your time.
And that was Leonard Nimoy. He'll be giving two presentations about his work at the Michelson Gallery in Northampton, Massachusetts. On Friday, November 2nd, from 6 to 7 p.m., he'll talk about his life as a photographer. Then, on Saturday, there'll be a general reception for the artist. It'll be free and open to the public. And along with the events around the Full Body Project, the Michelson Galleries is hosting a symposium on the image of fat women in life, art, and the media. It's on Saturday, November 3rd, from 10:30 to 4:30 p.m. After the break, we'll talk with two authors speaking at that event, Susan Stinson and Leslie Newman. Stay with us.
You can talk, you can rave, they can say awful things about me. I don't care what you say, go on your way if you doubt me. Cause if I go to church on Sunday and tear it down on Monday, ain't nobody's business if I do. I mean it, I solid mean it.